And we're talking about failure. By show of hands, all right, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever failed? Ever failed? Ever failed? Okay, now if you're not raising your hand, go ahead and raise it, because yes, you have, all right? Brad, Lindsay, you better get your hand up. No, just kidding. All of us have failed, right? I've had my fair share of failures. I have had some failures before in my life. I've had some small ones. You know, I've forgotten to pay a bill and gotten an embarrassing late notice. You know, I've dinged somebody's car before. I've gotten somebody's name wrong. You know, hey, Jay, how's it going? It's Caleb. Okay, well, that was off, really off. I actually had a situation this week. I was teaching a CrossFit class, and there's a girl at our gym. She spells her name J-A-C-Q-U-I, okay? J-A-C-Q-U-I. And I didn't know exactly how to pronounce that. And so I thought, it's got, I was looking at it, and I was like, ah, it's, and so I was talking to her, and I was like, good job, Jackie. Good job, Jackie. You're doing good, Jackie. And she just looked at me like four times. And she didn't correct me the first time. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's right. Good job, Jackie. And she was like, it's Jackie. Sorry, Jackie. All right, it is normal. Your parents should have spelled it correctly. Okay, but I went through that, you know, but I've done little small things like that. I'll tell you one that I will never, ever, ever forget as a teenager. It's burned into my brain because it was the most embarrassing moment of my life. It's one of those times where I just turned bright red. I worked at Old Navy when I was 15 years old, and I'm working at Old Navy when I was 15. I was actually 16. 16, I was working at Old Navy in Old Fallon on Highway K, and this woman came up to me. I was working somewhere, and she said, excuse me, young man, where are your thongs? Guess where I took her to? So I walked her over as I was supposed to, and I said, here they are, ma'am. And I'll never forget, she put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, dear boy, where are your sandals? And I looked at her, and I said, they're over there. Why were you asking about thongs, you weirdo? My manager had to explain that one to me, but... You know, I've had moments like that, failures, man, and failure feels embarrassing, right? It's degrading. It's things that just like that burn into your mind and your memory, and it's just hard to forget, and you just don't want anyone to find out about it. You don't ever want to have to tell that story. You hope it doesn't spread. But then, besides just the small ones that have been normal day-to-day ones, I've also had some huge ones in my life. I've had some ones that I don't want anybody to find out about. Ones that I'm not even going to give an example on because they were degrading. They were embarrassing. And some of them were even costly. You know, it cost me something. I lost something in it. And sometimes there were failures that where it changed people's view of me. And sometimes some of them even changed the way I think about myself. Because that's what failure does. Failure, it hurts. It's degrading. And you know, the thing we all know about failure is that failure feels different than any other kind of pain or embarrassment or hurt. It's different than a heartbreak. It's different than a physical pain. It's more difficult than, you know, losing a loved one. It's just something that's visceral and carnal, and it just hurts. And it can stick with you, right? That experience of going through that failure. But I'm preaching to the choir, right? Because we've all been there. We've all failed. We've all messed up. We've all done it. And even though that many times when people fail, especially in the day that we live in, where it's very easy to jump on social media and point out people's failures and nitpick and, you know, so many things, we have access to so many different people's failures now, and we can watch and we can nitpick every single word and every single look and every single eyeball roll, you know, but we know that we're not perfect ourselves. We too have failed. We too have slipped up. We too have been emotional. We too have let things come out. And you know, the Bible talks about this. Paul, the apostle, he's writing to a group of Christians. He's talking to the Christians at Rome, and he writes this letter. And remember that, it's very important. He's writing to Christians. And he points out this very same fact. He says in Romans 3:23, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now remember, he's writing to Christians. He's not talking about us and them. He's not saying, and those sinners out there, they sin. He's writing to a church, and he's writing to Christians. And he says, you know what is a universal fact
All of us have failed. Every single one of us, even the most holy of us, the most righteous of us, the most perfect looking of us. You know what we all have in common? We've all failed. And we've all messed up. And we've all sinned. And when we look at that word sin and we talk about sin, what we talk about is missing the mark. We've not measured up. We've missed the mark that we were supposed to hit. We missed the target. And he says, we've all done that. Every parent, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. Every dad in this room, every dad in this world, none of them have done a perfect job. Every single one of us have failed. Every single mother, we've all messed up. When we look at other mothers and we go, man, they've got it all together. They do such a good job. I don't know how they do it. They're just a, like Wonder Mom. No, they're not. It's a lie, okay? They're not. They've messed up too and they failed and they didn't do it perfectly, okay? And as much as your mother-in-law tells you she did it perfectly, she's a liar. She didn't either, all right? We've all failed. We've all failed at our jobs. We've all failed at being a good friend. We've all failed at being a neighbor. We've all failed at some point or time of protecting others and taking care of others' needs. None of us have done it perfectly. And he says, too, and said, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. You know what that means? It means every single one of us at some point or another time have proved just how ignorant we can be. We've all had a time in our life where we've shown how just weak we are, how we can be selfish, how we can give in so easily, how we can give up so easily, how we have a weak mind and we don't have the wisdom or the endurance it takes to do everything that we need to do. Every single one of us at some point or time have shown just how weak and small and just how much we're missing. And we've fallen short of that glory that God has. Every single one of us at some point or time have done that. So turn to the person next to you and say, see, I told you so. You've been trying to get this through their head for a long time, right? But it hasn't been in there. Just go ahead and tell them, right? No. We've all been there, though. And we all know that it's very, very hard. And it's not pleasant. And it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to feel it, right? Because when we feel it, ah, man, it's tough. It's hard. And it's embarrassing. And it's something that's very, very difficult to go through because it's degrading and it's defeating. And the other thing that we know about failure is that failure can also be very costly, right? And some of us, we've experienced this firsthand, that sometimes our failures don't get found out. And sometimes they slip past the radar and nobody does ever know. And nobody hears the story. Nobody finds the evidence. But sometimes our failures are very public or they do get found out. And they do get discovered. And the thing we also know about failure is it's not just degrading and hard to experience, but it can be even more harder when people find out about it. When people discover it and we lose something because of it. Because we've all had stories and experiences where it cost us our marriage. Where our failure cost us our job. Where it cost us a great deal of money. Or it cost us a friendship. Or it cost us a relationship with a family member. And that failure, we lost something out of it. And we tried so hard to get it back. We wished so badly we could go back in time. And if we could, we would just go back in time and we would say, you know what? I want to redo. I want to do it over. I don't want that to happen. But you know what? We can't. And that failure, it cost us very, very dearly. And you know, it's because of that. Because it's so hard to go through and because it can be costly. The most natural instinct inside of us. The most natural thing that we do whenever we fail is to hide it, right? When we fail and we know, oh, if somebody finds out about it, it's going to be bad. What do I need to do? Hide it. Act like it didn't happen. Pretend it didn't really go down that way. You know what? Just sweep it under the rug. Push it deep down inside. Do whatever I have to go to sleep tonight. And then tomorrow is a new day. And we'll just pretend like it didn't happen. We won't speak a word of it. It's our natural instinct, our natural reaction to failure is to just hide it. We do this even as children. It's like something that doesn't have to be taught to us. I have an almost 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And my 4-year-old has been doing this forever. Just a couple weeks ago, I went into her bathroom and I looked at the trash can. And there's a huge wad of perfectly good toilet paper on the trash can. And I'm like, what is that doing there? And I lift it up and there's underwear on top of it. Just underwear, just a collection of messed up underwear. And I'm going, What in the world is going on here? All right, so I go to my three-year-old and I go, Olivia, what's going on with this underwear in your trash can? What happened? What is that underwear? And she goes, what? I said, the underwear in your trash can with the perfectly good toilet paper that you wasted that's wadded up on top of the trash can, hiding it and covering it up. What is going on there? And she goes, I love you, Daddy. So I love you too. What's going on with the toilet paper? And the other one, she goes, Daddy, last night I was in my room and you gave me a lot of drink. You gave me a lot to drink. You gave me a lot to drink and you didn't check on me. You were supposed to check on me. You didn't check on me. I had an accident. I put it in there. It's in there. It's good. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? We could have cleaned up. He goes, I didn't want you to find it. I didn't want you to find it. It's okay. It's okay. I have more underwear. I'm like, I know, but I can't. That's why I keep paying for underwear. I don't want to keep paying for underwear, all right? But we do that, and she actually almost got away with it, right? We just know, like, oh, I did something bad. Okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to hide it. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to just keep it down. I'm just going to put it in the trash. I'm going to throw some stuff on top of it. I'm going to pretend like it's not there. And if somebody calls me out on it, I'll just pretend like I don't know what they're talking about. If it gets a little further, I'll explain to them about how it's their fault, how they played a part in this. Yeah, I did that, but you did this, and you were a part of it. And really, if we think about it long enough, it's actually your fault, and we should really be mad at you. So let's just not talk about this, right? That's what we do. That's our reaction to failure. Why? Because it's the easiest way to deal with it, right? Because to actually get involved in the mess and to talk about it and to think about it, and to analyze it, that's just too much. That's just too embarrassing. I can't go through that. I don't want to be that exposed. So let's just deal with it by hiding it and covering up. And we've been doing that since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve back in the garden. The very first human beings did it. And just every single generation has continued on the path of trying to hide our failures and our messes and trying to make them cover-ups. But here's what I know and you know. Is that there is no joy in hiding our failures. There is no joy or peace in tiptoeing around and hoping people don't find out. There's no joy in going to work or being in front of your family and putting on a mask with a big smile and pretending like everything's okay when really it's not. When really inside you're afraid. When really inside you feel guilty, when really inside you feel shame and you're embarrassed and you are so tired of hiding things and wondering if somebody's going to find out and going through your search history and deleting it and hiding things from your wife or your husband or your kids or pretending like things are okay. There's no joy, there's no peace in that kind of life. And we all know it. And it gets to this point where it just creates this anxiety in you, where you're afraid of being embarrassed, where you're afraid of being found out, where you're afraid of being exposed. It's this universal problem. And our natural reaction is to hide it and cover it up. But here's the thing I want you to know today. For this universal problem, God has a universal solution. A universal solution that's different than our natural reaction, but it's a better way to deal with failure. And that's why we're talking about this on Easter Sunday. Because on Easter, what we celebrate is what Christ did on the cross, but also what came after in the resurrection. And that whole story of what Jesus did and why God sent himself in human form was for our failures and was for us. Because God looked down on us on how we were naturally dealing with things, and he saw the pain that we were going through as we hid things, as we covered things up, as we walked around with a mask and pretended like things were okay, and he saw the anxiety and the fear and the guilt and the shame, and he said, I don't want you to live like that. That's not the way I created you to live. That's not the way I designed you to live. I don't want to see you go through that. I had better things planned for you. And that's what Easter's all about and what he gave us in that time. And it's what's so cool is when Paul's talking about this to the Roman church, right after he talks about this universal problem, he talks about the universal solution. He says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here's the cool thing. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Yeah, we've all messed up and we've all failed. But here's the cool thing for people who have a relationship with God, who have counted what Christ did on the cross for them. When that happens, when they embrace that relationship, all are justified. You know what that means? It means your past is taken care of. Your failure and the debt that was created through that failure, it's paid. It's taken care of. When you have a relationship with Christ, it's justified. You're put back in the right relationship with God. God says, we're all good. You don't owe me a thing. And your failure, whatever debt was owed through that, it's been paid for. It's been taken care of. And we're not going to pretend like it just didn't happen, but we're going to act like, you know what? It's all good now. It's been dealt with. And I'm not going to hang that over your head. I'm not going to say that you owe me or you got to pay me back or anything else. You're justified. You're redeemed. You're made right again. And what the cool thing is that he says that's free for you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pay me back. You don't have to do any gold star system. You don't have to go into any class. You don't have to do any ritual. You don't have to go to church X amount of times. You know what? That's free for you. All you got to do is claim it. All you got to do is say, thank you, God. I want a relationship with you. I want to be forgiven. I want to admit this. And I want to claim responsibility for this. And God says, good. All right. Well, free gift for you. You're justified. You're redeemed. And that's what we get through his grace, through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. That's been offered to us. Somebody had to pay the price. So a life had to be given. We did failures. We did things that were bad. And people said, you know what? You got to pay for this. That was bad what you did. You failed us. You hurt us. You did something wrong. So this has got to be made right. And before we could jump up on the cross that we deserved, he jumped in front of us and he said, I got this. I'll pay for this one. I'll take what you deserve, even though I don't deserve it. I'll jump in line and I'll jump on the cross for you. And that is what he did. And when a life was owed, he allowed it to be his own. He did that for us because he loves you. Because he doesn't want you to pay. And he doesn't want you to suffer. And he doesn't want you to go through that torment that you feel in your heart and your head, that guilt that you that shame that you feel. He doesn't want you to go through that. So he jumped up on the cross for every single one of us. And it's through that act that we're set free, that we're made justified and made right. But here's the best part, and you've got to catch this. He didn't just pay the price for our sin. He didn't just take on the judgment and the pain and the resurrection or the persecution. But he was also resurrected 3 days later. And here's the thing I think we miss so many times at Easter. It's all about the resurrection. We focus so much on the cross and our sins paid for. And it's all good. And that's an important part. But the most important part of the whole thing is the resurrection. Because there have been a lot of prophets and a lot of teachers, and there's a lot of religions with a Savior in it, where somebody died for what they believed in, and somebody sacrificed themselves for others. We know that hero story, and it's great. It gets told a lot. The hero that sacrifices himself for everybody else. But here's the thing that makes Jesus stand out, is that death didn't defeat him. Is that 3 days later, he came out of the grave, and that death could not beat him. And sometimes we just think, oh, that's great. He was Jesus. And then he went back up into heaven. Good for him. I'm glad he's not dead. No, no, no. That signified something very, very important for us. Is that here's the thing. If death can't keep him down, it means that your failures can't keep you down. If he has the power to overcome death, then he has the power to help you overcome your failure and your addiction and your shame and your guilt and your natural inclinations and temptations that you reach for. If he has the power to overcome the grave, then he has the power to overcome anything in your life. And that signified that if he came out of that grave, it means you can come out of your grave too. You can come out of your hole, and you don't have to stay a failure. You failed, but you do not have to be a failure. You can have a second chance. You can have a second life. You can be reborn, and you can be made new. That's what he's offering to us through the life of Jesus Christ, through what he did for us. So this morning, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what should our actual reaction to failure be? We know our natural reaction that we're bent to, the selfish one, where we hide it, where we cover it up. But what should our reaction be? How can we actually deal with our failure and not just hide it so that we can be set free from it, so that we can be resurrected through it and be made new? Well, the first thing I think that we find in the Bible that we have to do is we have to confess. We've got to confess. First John talked about this. John talked about this in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So here's the thing, right? You know that failure, that when you go through that and you experience that, you go through that failure, you just feel dirty, right? You just feel like just shame and just dirty and just wrong. We've got to be cleansed of that. We got to get that all off of us. Well, we don't need to feel like that anymore. And so the way that we do that is we confess to God. He's the first person we need to confess to. And I don't know about you, I've thought about this practically before, and I thought, why do I need to confess to God if he already knows everything? Why do I need to say anything to him if he already knows? If he's all-knowing, then why can't we just be like, okay, so we're good? Here's why. It's because you've got to take ownership of that. You've got to take responsibility of that failure. Because you've made up a lot of excuses in your head why what happened happened. You've even probably blamed some people before. Well, it's their fault. No. You did it. It's your failure. You got to own it. You got to claim responsibility for it. So when we come to God and we confess, we say, you know what? I own this. This was me. This is on me. No buts about it. I'm confessing it. I'm making it very, very clear that this was my doing. This was my decision. And it was selfish and it was wrong. And John says, when we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive. That's the first step in the process. But you know what was interesting too in the New Testament is that James, the brother of Jesus, he took it a step further. He said, yeah, we need to confess to God. That's good. We need that for justification, to be able to be redeemed and be in right relationship with God. But you know what? I think we need to take it a step further. And James, the brother of Jesus, he said this. He said, I think we ought to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, this is the thing we don't like, right? I'm good with confessing to God, all right? That's step one, and that's not too hard for me to do. I can close my eyes. I can even say it in my head. I don't even have to say it out loud. And nobody will know, right? I can just confess it quietly, and we'll keep this between me and God. And then James says, I think you need to tell people. I think you need to confess it to other people. And we think, no. Well, I like that booth system across the street, right? Like nobody has to know. Just go tell the priest and he tells me I'm good. And then we just keep this to ourselves and my wife never has to find out about it, right? But James says, I think we ought to confess to each other. That's embarrassing though. That leaves me exposed. That might cause some kind of reaction, you know? And I don't want to deal with that and I don't want that. But here's the thing, all right? Here's the thing that you really know if you go through this and if you experience this. Is you can tell God, and you can keep it from your family, you can keep it from your friends, and you can keep it from the people that you care about. But the thing is that even if you tell God, you will still feel like you're hiding something from the people that you love. Yeah, God knows, and God says, okay, well, good, you're forgiven, you're redeemed. But inside your heart, you won't feel like it. Because inside, you'll know that they don't know. And if they did know, you don't know how they would react. And so you're still going to feel like, and here's the thing. It's not like when you get forgiven, everything just magically goes away, right? Like that temptation or that desire to reach for that thing just goes away. So here's the thing. You're going to struggle through this, right? We all do. We all know that's how it goes. It doesn't mean, just because I quit smoking doesn't mean I'm never going to want a cigarette ever again, right? This is going to be hard for me. This is going to be a temptation for me. You think you can do that on your own? You can't. You need people. You need a support system. You need accountability. You need people who love you, who can pray for you, who can lift you up, who can support you. And you can't do that if you keep the struggle to yourself. And for you to just pretend like you're not weak, like you're not struggling for this, you're not going to make it and you're going to end up right back there again. So here's the thing, as embarrassing as that might be, as hard as that might be, we've not got to just confess to God, we've got to confess to others. But here's the cool thing that happens when you do that. is the pressure valve that you feel inside of you, that pressure and that anxiety that you have inside of you from hiding things from other people, it just kind of releases that valve, man, and it just kind of goes away. Because you're like, oh, man, it feels so good to not pretend anymore. It feels so good to not tiptoe around it anymore. It feels so good to just to say it out loud and to say, yeah, I'm not perfect. I struggle. You know what? It's hard being a parent. Oh, it feels so good to get that off my shoulders. You know what? Sometimes I have a hard time loving my spouse, and it's difficult. Woo, it's good to get that out of the way and not act like I'm so perfect. You know what? Sometimes I have no clue what I'm doing at my job, and I make a mistake. Oh, it feels good to get off. When we confess, not just to God, but to other people, and we admit that we're weak, and that's okay, that we're not perfect, the pressure just kind of gets let out. David wrote about this in the Psalms, and it's written so perfectly, kind of a paraphrase in the Message. But he says, the pressure, it never let up. All the juices of my life dried up, and then I let it all out. I said, I will make a clean breast of my failures to God. And suddenly, the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared. These things, they add up, and every one of us needs to pray. When all hell breaks loose and the dam bursts, we will be on high ground, untouched. He talks about that at the end. He says, you know what? When things get bad, when people find out, it's okay. Even if I have to deal with the consequences, it'll be all right. Because you know what? I'll know that I at least am free, that I am forgiven, that I am justified, that it's okay. I claimed responsibility for it, and God says I'm forgiven. We've got to confess, to let the pressure off, to let things be known. To be real. Now, here's a side note, all right? Some of you in this room, you're not going to be the confessor. You're going to be the person confessed to. Now, here's a side note for you if you end up in that situation. You cannot hang them up on the cross for their failures. You need to understand the courage and the strength it took for them to admit that, to confess that, for them to tell you that. And that's your opportunity to practice the same love and grace and mercy that God has shown you so many times when you failed and nobody else knew about it. And this is a must for Christians. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to have a relationship with God, you have no business hanging people up on crosses. As Christians, we aren't cross hangers. We're grave robbers. Here's what I mean by that. We're not people who hang people up on crosses for their sins. We're people who get people out of that hole. So when people confess to us, we need to not be the people who hang them up and say, well, you owe me. No, their debt was already paid. Somebody's already been put on their cross. You can't put them on a cross and hang them up for their failures. That debt has already been paid for. It's your job to help them get out of that grave that they already know and feel bad about enough. We've got to confess. And then the second thing that we've got to do is we've got to accept our new identity. If you've ever failed, man, inside of yourself, it was very, very easy to tell yourself, well, that's who I am now. I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm a failure. I'm a bad dad. I'm a bad mom. I'm a mess. I'm a piece of junk. I'm a jerk. And then if people found out about your failures, they threw some labels on you too. Man, you're messed up. You're a letdown. You're weak. You're a mess. You're an idiot. And you know what? When we fail and people start to throw words and labels at us, or when we start to hear them in our own mind, it's very easy to just start tagging those on us and believing them, saying, well, that's what I am. You know, I am whatever you say I am. If that's what I am, then okay, well, then I am. I'm an addict. I'm a piece of junk. You know, I'm a jerk. I'm a failure. I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm an idiot. I'm a moron. I'm selfish. That's who I am. Well, that's not who Christ says you are. Christ doesn't call you a failure. Christ sees you as a child of God who has failed. And when we're redeemed and we're justified, he doesn't see you as a child of God who has failed. He sees you just as a child of God who is worth loving and who is worth taking care of and who is worth blessing. And so here's the thing, when you confess, no matter how the other person takes it, you know what, however they take it, that's on them. It's just your job to confess.
And you know what? When they say, well, you owe me, now you got to pay me back. I don't know. I don't trust you anymore. You're going to have to earn that back. You say, well, that's not my problem. Seriously. It's not. God says you've been justified. God says you've been redeemed. God says your debt has been paid. So here's the thing. No matter what they think or what they say about you, you've got to know that in Christ, you have a new identity. You have been resurrected and you have been made new and you have been reborn. And you are not that failure. You are not an addict. You are not an idiot. You are not stupid. You are not that. You are what he says you are. And he says you are loved. And he says you are good enough. And he says you are righteous. And he says you are worth it. You've got to believe that in your heart because you may be the only one telling yourself that. You've got to accept that new identity and you've got to embrace it. Paul talked about it to the church in Corinth. He said this. He says, you have forgotten. Sorry. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You're a new creation. When people says you're this, you go, no, I'm not. That was the old me. Yeah, I'm not acting like it didn't happen. I'm not acting like the past isn't real. I know it happened. I know what I did. I confessed that and I owned it and I claimed it. But from that point on, I wasn't that anymore. And you can hang that over my head, but I know in my heart who I am. And I'm set free from that. And I don't have to sit here and listen to that and take that and have you keep beating and try to persecute me and torture me for that. Somebody else has already been done the torturing for. Somebody else has already been persecuted so that I didn't have to be persecuted. He took that on and he put on the crown full of thorns so that I didn't have to. So while you try to take it and you push it on my head and you make me feel bad, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to take it. And I'm not going to accept it. I have been made new. And the old me is dead. And the new me is here. You got to do that for yourself. You can't allow yourself to keep getting beaten up and let your past hang over your head. If Jesus says it's taken care of, it's taken care of. If the King of Kings says you are made new and you are forgiven, then you've got to accept that forgiveness. Otherwise, you won't ever have it. And he's given you this gift and you've got to embrace it and accept it and you've got to pull it in. Going back to Paul's letter in the Romans, he says a little bit later then in Rome, he says, have you forgotten that when you were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we joined in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Stop torturing yourself. Don't torture yourself. Don't let your past hang over your head. Don't let your last marriage hang over your head. When something starts to stir in you and you start to see it go the same way, think, well, this is how it always goes for me. This is how every marriage goes. This is how every relationship goes. Every guy I date, every girl I date, this is how it always ends up. Every job, this is where it always goes. And this is who I am. I always screw up. I'm never good enough. No. Don't let your mind go there. See, that's a temptation of the enemy telling you, see, I told you, once a failure, always a failure. You'll never be good enough. You'll always be a bad mom. You'll always be a bad dad. You can't make a marriage work. You can't keep a job. You're always an idiot. You always will be an idiot. No, don't let your mind go there. You're a new creation. You've been given a second chance. The old you is dead. You're not the same person you were yesterday. You've been made new. Don't torture yourself. Or you know what? The second marriage will end up like the first. The third will end up like the first and the second. Your relationship with the other kid will be like the other one. Don't let yourself go there, or you'll end up in the same cycle continually. Let yourself be forgiven. Accept that new identity. And the last thing is this. We've got to learn from our mistakes. Right? We've had this F-bomb drop in our life and explosion. Things got messed up. And we dealt with it. We confessed about it. We confessed it. We accepted our new identity. But here's the thing. We've got to make some changes. We've got to change. We can't end up here again. We've got to learn from our mistakes. And it's time to come up with a plan to stay away from the things that got us there in the first place. Luke 3:8 talks about this. It says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God.
Prove by the way you live. Time to walk the walk, right? Prove by the way you live that you have been forgiven, that you have been set free. I was on vacation last week, and I was in California, in San Diego, and we were on Mission Beach, and there was this taco shop three blocks away. Taco shop opened up 24/7, all right? Never closed. Most amazing, most glorious thing I ever found, okay? A taco shop that's always open, that's been walking distance of me, all right? So I go to this taco shop the first day, and I get tacos, and they're glorious, and they're awesome, and they're amazing. And a couple hours later, I pay for it very dearly in my stomach, right? Because I have like some allergies, I think, to dairy and stuff. So cheese and grease and all this stuff doesn't match up very well, right? And so I go and I have fun for a minute, and then I pay for my failure very, very badly, right? The next morning, I wake up and I think, maybe today's a new day. Maybe it was maybe it was the empanada. Maybe I don't get the empanada this time. Maybe I go for the chicken quesadilla, right? So I go back again. Same story. Wednesday comes. Maybe it's because I'm going at lunch. I'll go at breakfast. Let's start the day off right with breakfast burritos. And so I go back. And this time I'm like, give me what I got yesterday. But let's add eggs to it. And maybe it'll be different. Same story. I lost a lot of weight on vacation. All right? Good thing there was an ocean nearby. But here's the thing. I keep going back. And I keep going back, expecting a different result. Here's the thing. When you deal with your F-bomb, and you're forgiven, and you're redeemed, and God says you're made new, you can't go back again. You can't continually go back and go, maybe this time it'll be different. You know what? Maybe if I go hang out with that group of friends this time, what happened last Friday night won't happen this Friday night. You know, the last time I went over to their house, this is what we did. Maybe this time we won't. Maybe this time we'll be able to control ourselves. Or maybe this time we won't be offered these things. Or maybe this time we won't be pulled this direction. Yes, you will. We keep going back and we keep expecting a different result. Here's the thing. If that F-bomb dropped once, you've got to stop it from dropping twice. Because that confession that you gave and how you dealt with it, you told those people and you told God, not again. The definition of repentance is to go the other way. And so when you repent of that sin and you say, I'm going to go a different direction, you can't go back down that same road to that same taco shop. You've got to go a different way and you've got to make changes, and we've got to learn from our mistakes. We've got to prove by the way we live that we have repented. We are serious about changing our lives. Here's what I want you to know this morning. F-bombs are costly. And every single one of us, we've experienced it. And some of you have had some very big F-bombs in your life. And this morning, maybe nobody else knows it, but in your heart and in your mind, you're dealing with some very big failures in your life. You're dealing with some costly decisions. You've gone through marriages, you've gone through relationships, you've gone through jobs, you've got a debt over your head, a relational debt, a financial debt, a physical debt. And you put a mask on every day, and you think, today will just be different. Today's a new day. Let's just act like that other stuff didn't happen. Aren't you tired of just covering it up and pretending like things are okay? Wouldn't it be nice today to actually deal with it? And let the pressure out, let the anxiety come down, release the fear that you feel in your heart, and just let it be known, and maybe even tell some people and get some help. Just for some people to love on you and care on you and tell you some positive things to deflect all the negative things that the enemy keeps telling you in your heart and your mind, or all the people from your past keep holding over your head. Wouldn't it be nice to just feel that grace and love today and not let it just be a word or something that we know God offers, but to actually experience it in our heart? Be set free from all that? That's the Easter message. That's the Easter gift. That God saw what you were going through, and he knew there would be many more that would go through it.
He offered us a way this morning to be free from that and to confess it and to let it out and then be given a new identity and be a new creation and be reborn and have a second chance and to get out of that hole and walk out of that grave and experience a new life and a second chance. That's what he's offering you this morning. And that's what I want every single one of you. That's what I want our town, our city, our country, our world to experience. Because all of us have messed up and are probably going to mess up again. But just because we failed doesn't mean that we have to stay a failure. You don't have to be a failure. You are a loved child of God. Embrace that. Take that advantage. Be blessed by that. And I guarantee you, it will change the way you live. It will change the way you love. It will change the way you parent. It will change the way your relationship and your marriages work. It will change the way you work. And it will change the way you deal with the problems of this world. That's what I want for you. So that you can be blessed. And so that you can live the life that God planned and created you for. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning, as we talk about our failures and as we talk about our reaction to them, God, this morning, I know there are a lot of us in this room. We've failed and our reaction has been to cover it up. But God, I pray this morning that you will forgive me of my failures. I have hurt people. I have turned my back on you. I have robbed myself and disappointed the people who have supported me. Today, God, I confess to you and I own my part. I believe that right now you will forgive me and redeem me. And God, I accept my new identity in you. I am not a failure. I am a loved child of God. And from here on out, I will live differently. And I will not go back down the same road I've been down before because all I have found there is disappointment. Today, I will do that. I will live differently, and I will do that by leaning on you for strength and wisdom. God, that's my prayer for every single person in this room. And God, this morning, I pray that people would walk out of here with a relationship with you, being a new creation, leaving the past behind, not because we've covered it up or act like it wasn't there, but that we would be a new creation in you and accept our new identity. And that, God, what your son did on the cross would be counted for us. In the same way that your son walked out of the grave, that, God, we would walk out of that grave in our hearts and our mind this morning. That we would not stay in that hole of torment any longer, but that we would be set free of our failures because we are not who we were in the past. And we are not that failure. That failure does not define my life. I have more meaning and purpose than that. And God says, I deserve better and I am more. And so, God, we claim that this morning and we believe that in our hearts and minds. And even though nobody else may tell us that, and the people of our past or the people we've hurt, our exes, our children, our friends and family who have left us, those people may say we are that failure, but you say differently. And so, God, we claim that and we believe that because when it comes to eternity and when we meet you at heaven, that is what matters most. And it will be that identity and that label and that name that you call us that will determine everything else. And so, God, that is what we grab hold to. Help us to do that this week. When the thoughts and the temptations and the past comes back into our minds and our lives this week, help us to grab hold of your truth and your Easter story and the redemption and the resurrection that you are offering us today, God. We love you, dear God. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.